Jack Riewoldt would like Cameron Smith at his club. I'm sure. He's even though he's an exceptional leader himself of the mighty Tigers, who are celebrating another premiership and getting ready for season 2020, joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, gentlemen. How are we?
We're going very well. What flavour milkshake would you get if you were at a cafe, Jack?
I was just listening to the preamble then. Nothing beats banana pure milk down here in the mighty greatest town in Australia, Hobart. So I would be having a lime milkshake or I'd have a banana pure milk.
You see, this is...
Hang on a second.
Don't you celebrate that.
You're, banana.
Yeah, banana smoothie you're going down. Banana Big M type setup that Jack's talking about is excellent, but the lime milkshake, or spearmint, number one. That's refreshing.
Are you in Hobart, Jack?
Yeah, I am, actually.
What are you doing down there?
A bit of family time, cruising around, and then enjoying some sunshine, actually.
You sound surprised. Dan Rioli is up north in the Tiwi at the moment with the Premiership Cup on boats, just going around willy-nilly. How come you haven't got the cup with you this year?
The cup is coming down to Tassie, actually. It's coming down here on the 16th. So it's doing a bit of a tour of all the places where the players are from. And right now, Danny and I couldn't be any further. No doubt it's sunny up there in the Tiwi Islands. I've been up there, actually. One of the most amazing places in the world to go to. One of my best footballing memories, actually, at Tiwi Islands in a mid-season break. And we ran from the lodge where we were staying to Daniel's local ground, the Imaloo Tigers. And it was seriously like a scene from Forrest Gump. The kids were just screaming out of these houses. They were coming from everywhere. And by the end of it, we had about, I think it was about 150 of these young Indigenous kids doing our 150 with us up the ground. So,
well, he's up there at the moment with the cup, which is great. And it is nice you get a chance to do that with your hometowns and take the cup and celebrate with the people that have helped you through and watched you through all your journey. What's the best reaction you've got last year or 2 years ago when you won the premiership from taking the cup to your people, Jack?
I don't know. It's just something special about the actual premiership cup. Like, you have to share it with the family. They obviously watch you week in, week out, and a lot of people over here that have helped me have made my dream come true. So, I think just showing them what it's about. It's not every day that you get to have a bit of a photo or have a look at an AFL Premiership Cup, so I think they relish that moment as well.
Have you been able to watch the game yet, Jack? You've been everywhere. You've been overseas, you've been to Bathurst, you've had weddings, you've had all sorts of things. Have you sat down and taken it all in yet?
I've got a bad habit. After getting home, I've had a few beers and actually thrown it on.
You must have played all right.
Yeah, I watched the second quarter a few times. The last quarter as well.
You're getting a good, you're getting a bit of movement in the air with your kicks on grand final day. You're like you were shaping your golf ball.
I got lucky with a few of them. I didn't know that I could kick over 50 metres, and a couple of them sort of went a little bit further. So maybe it's just a bit more of adrenaline. Well, there definitely is a bit more adrenaline on grand final day because it is what it is. But I kicked fairly straight after playing fairly poorly the week before, so no, it was good. I was glad to play a part and a role, and my role for the team.
Does it feel different the second time around, Jack? Being now you're a two-time premiership player, but obviously breaking the drought the first time around, it was such an emotional time for everyone linked with the Richmond Football Club. But what about this time when you reflect back on it, which is now sort of 5-6 weeks ago?
It does feel a little bit different. There was just obviously a sense of just unbridled joy and euphoria and a bit of... We really couldn't believe that we'd done it the first time. And the fact that we'd broken that 37-year premiership drought none of us really knew what to do. We were sort of just like, well, no one's been here before, and we just sort of embraced it for what it is. And this time it's obviously the elation and the emotion is still there, but there's a little bit of expectation as well. We know we're a good side, and we go out there and want to win. And prior to that, you sort of think, oh, are we a chance, or can we, or and whatnot. And that was 2017, and now we sort of expect to.
Well, you've got a good enough squad to be confident most weeks you're out there. Are you ready to come back and get involved again? And what is the time frame before you actually have to be back on deck?
I don't have to be back till December 2nd, so I've still got another few weeks off here. So spend a bit of time down here in Hobart, and then get back over and do a few little things around Melbourne. And yeah, just sort of enjoy myself. So I've still been doing a bit of off-season training most days, and we still have a maintenance program, so I still adhere to that. And I'm actually really enjoying doing that at the moment as well.
Now, Balls and Bumpers has been a juggernaut. Much better than Halves. What's your podcast called?
Don't pretend you don't know the name.
I don't even know what it's called.
Don't pretend you don't know the name.
But what's happening tomorrow night, mate?
I was chatting to Maisie before I came on air, and he actually said it was a flagship program right then. So I think we've got Halves podcast covered, and we might nearly have you boys covered as well, actually. So that's how well we're rating at the moment. Myself and Scott McLaughlin, they're a good mate through a friend of your program as well, Tim Hodges, who's the producer of AFL 360, and we cocked this idea, and we were talking about it, and then we finally acted on it and got this podcast going, Balls and Bumpers, where we talk a little bit of motorsport, a little bit of footy. All of us sort of have a passion for both, so we enjoy doing that, and then we have a bit of fun down sort of every other little alley as well, and pretty much take the piss out of each other. But then we thought, why don't we have a crack of doing a live podcast and getting some people out, some actual audience, so we don't use the laughter in a can and have a decent go at it. So we're going to have a crack at something at the Mackie Flinders tomorrow night. So tickets there if you want to come along and have a bit of a listen. And we've got merch. I went out and bought the official merch. We've got 500 Balls and Bumpers bumper stickers. I gave one to my dad yesterday, who's wrapped. So he's the only one that's actually got one at the moment. And Hodgie and I have got the plan to try and get one on Scotty's car for the Sandown 500 this weekend as well at the Sandown Raceway.
That is a great idea. If you can make that happen and get some coverage on it, that would be outstanding.
Hey, we talked to Scotty yesterday about the big crash he had last week. As someone, you've now become such a good mate of his. How does something like that affect you, watching that unfold?
Yeah, well, I did actually see it happen because I was driving back from Sam Lloyd's wedding in Eloquent, and I sort of was in and out of reception, and I was flipping through social media, and I saw the car on its side, and I thought, oh, geez, what's happened here? And I texted him and sort of heard, and I actually rang Kim, said, well, have you got footage of what happened? He sort of all sent it through, and then just started getting in contact with him, seeing how he's going, texting his fiancée Carly as well to see how she was, and then, yeah, it was pretty sort of chaotic moment. I think it was sort of early on, brushed over a little bit, and even Scotty as well, sort of just a bit sort of, not blasé about things, but it was just sort of like, oh, I'm feeling okay. And then he deteriorated over the afternoon and ended up having a couple of medical tests, torturing tests to make sure he actually was okay. So, 43T impact in the colour of that, I think he hit the barrier, 4-ton concrete barrier at 150Ks an hour, so... someone mentioned to me that it moved a metre, so it just shows you the impact that the crash had.
Yeah, it was an amazing crash, and his poor old Ghoulies copped it, as he discussed with us again yesterday, yeah. Which we heard very clearly
in motherhood.
The Balls and Bumpers podcast is very entertaining about that. I was going to ask you, how's your golf game? We've got BJ coming up after this, and he's playing in the Gippsland Sixes at the moment. How's your golf game going?
Yeah, shit out. I haven't played this month. Now, I had two hits, so last week, my first game back, I actually played with DJ and Jeff Ogilvie, who's playing in the Gippsland tournament as well, and a young pro from Metro, and I was running late because I was with 40 balls and bumpers, and we were going to say gangbusters, and we went about 15 minutes over time, and then I got to the first tee and top driver straight down the middle of the fairway. US Open winner for the first time. I'd never met him before, so that really summed up my day. I had another hit the other day, and I'm starting to hit it a little bit better, so I want to try and make a little trip up the Bamboo while I'm down here enjoying some Tasmanian hospitality.
Well, it's a fine place to enjoy it because there are fine people down there in Hobart and Tassie, as you well know. And we wish you the best of luck tomorrow night at the Matthew Flinders Hotel. Check out the website for more details. We're going to get some tickets to the Balls and Bumpers live edition with Scotty McLaughlin and Timmy Hodges. And we look forward to seeing you and catching up with you soon. Jack, go well.
Thanks, Roy. Blind milkshakes all the way.